Okay. So we are talking about the process of bringing the Geula, bringing the Mashiach, and it has to be the Bir, the perfection of Yaakov, the perfection of Klal Yisrael. And like we said, you have to be Mevar, the Psalus of Avram Avinu is through Yishmael, then Mevar, the Psalus of Yitzchak is through Esav. So what's the Psalus of Yaakov? What's the Psalus of Yaakov? So the Psalus of Yaakov says the Gra is the Koch of the Erev Rav. The Erev Rav is the Erev, is the mixture. And it's the Rosh Yitzchak of Erev Rav is Ra. It's the Koch of evil within Klal Yisrael. And the Goyim says that is the hardest, obviously, to achieve perfection from, because it's the most internal. It's the most, you know, it's the one which is the most attached, the most connected, and the hardest to rid yourself of. And really, the way to rid yourself of it is you got to peel it away, peel it off. It's not so simple to do that. And that's the koch of the Erev Rav to cause. And the Klal Yisrael will not be perfected until the koch of the Erev Rav is removed. Now, the other koch that the Grud discusses is the koch of Amalek. That's really the koch of Esav. In other words, the two last koches in Klal Yisrael, Yishmael is taken care of earlier, but the koch of Esav and the koch of Erev Rav, the koch of Esav hits its climax with Amalek. Amalek is the koach, right? Amalek is the power of Esav, and that's why the final destruction of Amalek will lead into the Mashiach, followed by the perfection of Klal Yisrael. That's really the process of the Geula. You got to get rid of Amalek, and by getting rid of Amalek, that's one of the Birurim of Ra. Amalek has to be killed out because Amalek doesn't even have a shirish that it can become better. Amalek is the complete Ra, and you can't convince him to do tshuva. You can't, there's not Amalek, you kill, because Amalek is just that entire koach of Ra. You got to destroy it. Okay. And that's the only real way to address that koach of Ra, of Amalek, is to destroy it. And that's going to ultimately lead to the Geula process, which explains a very interesting question. People have a question when you have two Adars like this year. So which Adar is the primary Adar? Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? So the Gemara itself asks this question, if we should celebrate Purim in the first Adar or in the second Adar. And the Gemara says, maybe we should celebrate in the first Adar because reason Makdimin L'mitzvahs. Or no, maybe we should celebrate in the second Adar because there's an Inyan to be masmich the geula le geula. There's an inyan that Purim should be next to Pesach. So if you would do Purim and Adar Rishon, it would be a month between, you know, Adar and Nisan. That's not good. Purim should be next to Pesach. Question is why? So the answer is according to this. Nisan symbolizes the geula process, symbolizes us going into the next shlab, going into the geula. So we want to connect the destruction of Amalek with the coming of the Geula. And that's why specifically, Purim should be in the second Adar, because it should be Masmach, Geula, the Geula, should be next to the Geula of Pesach. That's the concept of Amalek versus the concept of Erev Rav. Okay, now the going over here continues, and he's going to go on to explain the five types of kochos of Ra that are brewed, are simmering within Klal Yisrael, the five types of Erev Rav. There's five types of Erev Rav that we got to destroy, every single one of them, in order to perfect ourselves in preparation for the Geula. Type number one, Bale Machloikes Lashon Hara. It's the Bale Machloikes. It's the people that stir up and make Machloikes, and they're Bali Lashon Hara. Now again, the koach of the Erev Rav is going to reach its climax before Mashiach. That means that all the evil is going to be in charge of Klal Yisrael. The evil is going to be that which has, you know, the real power, which is interesting, but that's what it is. Okay? So that's the first one. Number two, Beis, Bale Taiva. It's the people that are obsessed with Taiva. with filling their physical desires and physical needs. Gimel, hatzvuim she'ein toicham kibarim. This is a very interesting one. It's the people that are inconsistent, dishonest, try to be something other than what they are. So they pretend like they're very, you know, from or whatever, but in reality they're not. So their inside does not reflect, their outside doesn't reflect what's in their inside. So that is a koach of trying, of deception. It's a koach of not being real about your Yiddish. So that's a koach, again, a bruise within Klal Yisrael. Okay? Haroitvim achar hakavod la'asayis lahem shame. So again, all these things are when people are very superficial. Okay, that's what all these have in common. They're very superficial people. So they're toichem kibarim. They're not sincere, right? And the bali machloikis. They care very much about what the other people have to say. They're busy positioning themselves in a way that, oh, we're good, but like, you know, we have all of our backs covered. So the people that write from achar kavod, they want honor, right? So again, it's not genuine. The fifth one, haroitvim achar hamamim, people that are running after money. Okay. Now, the people running after money, why are they running after money? They're probably running after money either to fill their tivus or to get covered. So isn't that already included in the other ones? He said Bali Taiva or Rachel Ma'achar Kovach. So I think there's another riot to my theory. I'm developing this theory that money is an addictive power in and of itself, not based on what you're going to do with it. It has nothing to do with what you're going to do with the money. It's having the money. Can be addicted. People can get addicted to their money. Addiction means that it doesn't necessarily make sense. But I want money. Because the going is saying, look, there's a category of people that are running after their time. All right. So that's one category. There's another people that want COVID. There's another people that want money. So it's funny to me because I think money is either there to get you covered or get you tied, but what else is it there for? The answer is no, it's an independent thing. You want money. Money makes you feel powerful. Money, not covered that like someone else will give me covered. Money, if I'm sitting on a lot of money, even if I'm not the only one that knows about it, and I'm not getting covered for it, right? I'm not spending it. There's a taiva to have the money. There's a taiva to go to sleep at night on that mattress, which has all that money under it, right? Holding the money is an addiction. It's a power thing. You want the money. You feel very secure, you feel powerful, you feel, you know, it's a certain feeling you have. And it's nothing to do with what you're going to spend on it. And so I was saying the other day that I think I had this problem that I don't understand. What was the big chiddush in the Midbar that people gave the money to the Mishkan? You're sitting in the Midbar, you have man, you have all the food you need, you have anan yakavet, you have your tent. Like, oh, even if you have money, what are you spending it on? There's nothing to spend it on. What are you going to do with your money? Right? So I guess you could melt it down and make jewelry or something like that. That's my daughter title. But what are you doing with the money? So why is it so hard to give it away? The answer is, there's nothing to do with what you're going to do with it. There's a chiddush that people are willing to give away money. It's nothing to do with the fact that you want it to spend it. There's a certain power of addiction to money that you want to keep it, even if it's not because I'm going to need it to spend on this or spend on that. So in the going is saying, the roid from achar hamamin is an erev rav. It's an outside. It's something which brews in Klal Yisrael, and until we get rid of it, Mashiach's not going to come. Because you need to get rid of this Erev Rav before we can really get Mashiach. Scary concept, I'm saying, based on today's day and age, where we're holding, where this is probably one of the greatest nisyonos. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, and when we don't have money, the nisyonos are that we're poor. When we have money, we're the nisyonos that we're running after, right? Showing it off and flaunting it. So, like, I don't know. Either way you cut it, it's not easy.
We live in capitalism, Rabbi. It's like indoctrinated in us. It's very hard to change. Avadim and Mitzrayim.
I think that's exactly why it's called Erev Rav. You just said the point, because it's coming from the outside. It's not a Jewish concept. This thing is not a Jewish concept. So where did it come in from? It's infiltrating from the outside. That's what Erev Rav is. Erev Rav is concepts that are not Torahdik and not Jewish concepts that filter in, that infiltrate into the Jewish people, just like the Erev Rav. Right? The Erev Rav came in from the outside. So that's what's going on. Right? So these concepts are, you know, that's really it's a scary thing. Okay, now there is a big chiddush in the next line in the Gra. Okay, the next line in the Gra says, "Ubale machlekes, those that are bale machlekes, heim gruim mikulam." So the first category is the worst, the people that make machlekes, the people that are looking to, like, you know, make problems. Say Lashon Hara, try to find where they can dig up an issue. So the Bali Machlekes are the worst. V'heim Nikroim Amalekim. That's beyond, really, the Koach of Erev Rav. That's bordering the Koach of Amalek. That's bordering the Koach of Amalek. Okay? Then the Goyin says another scary line. V'ein ben David ba, Mashiach ben David cannot come, ad sheyichlu min ha'olam, until they are all gone. Okay? The fascinating thing. So we have got to talk about this a little bit in the concept of a Malik. He's saying that the Bali Machlekes is a Malik, and he's saying that Mashiach cannot come until we get rid of that power from the Bria. They bring in the bottom a Maimer that we'll talk about tomorrow, a Maimer from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman that discusses how is it in our hand. So what are you telling me? You're telling me Mashiach only going to come when we get rid of a Malik? But the Rambam says you can't get rid of a Malik until Mashiach comes. So which one is it? On the one hand, you're telling me Mashiach can't come unless you get rid of a Malik. But on the other hand, we know a Malik can't get rid of a Malik until Mashiach comes. So that's a big problem, right? So Rabbi Chanan will discuss the solution to that. There's got to be a solution. So we'll discuss tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem, the solution to that issue and some more of these interesting concepts, all right? This is the big stuff over here we're talking about. It's not small stuff. Okay.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Shkoyach. We'll see you all tomorrow.
Have a good night.
Have a good night, Shkoyach.